Hello and welcome to The Cynic Weekly. It is Thursday, it's the 17th of August 2023, and we are here to talk about Glasgow Celtic. I'm your host, Christopher Gallagher, and we have our sensational panel, the usual panel, the guys doing all the hard work. It's Christopher Sormani. Hello, Christopher, how are you, sir?
Evening, Chris. Looking forward to this.
That's not what you said in my living room earlier on, but we'll...
Evening, Chris. I'm looking forward to this.
We're also joined by Alan Edgar. Hello, Alan. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Also looking forward to this.
Ah, we're having a bit of fun. It's tough to talk about Celtic now, isn't it, Chris?
Looking forward to this. Yeah, it's...
Nice. It's a bit tough. I'm not saying...
We're going to be upbeat. You know, you tell that beforehand. Well, what you don't know about Gal is he's a bit of a... I've a kind of maniac behind the scenes, so he kind of laid down the law. We have to be really positive, but that remains to be seen whether that happens or not.
I didn't say that. That's shocking. I would never tell any of the contributors what to say at all, ever. No, it's been a tough week in regard to results, and it's been a tough week in regard to injuries, but we'll cover all that. Alan, myself and you were on the agenda on Monday, so we've got your perspective. I'd like to get your perspective 4 days out, as we've said. We recorded on Monday. Sormani, we've not really heard much from you in that regard.
Sorry for that.
Just from, obviously, the defeat to Kilmarnock out of the League Cup, you know, I said at the start of the week, and I've kind of made the point through the week, it's kind of tough to remember how to lose in the right way from a fan perspective, because it seems to be completely over the top or completely underplayed. There's probably a middle ground somewhere. How are you feeling 4 days out, 5 days out?
Yeah, I mean, much the same as I was at the time. I mean, it's one thing losing. I mean, if you're going to look at things rationally as much as you can as a Celtic fan, when we don't lose very often, you need to then kind of pick apart the performance a bit. And when you pick that performance apart, you understand that there's like systemic problems in the team. It needs surgery, it needs quality additions, and it needs a defined style as well. And that was one thing that was entirely clear for me, is we're either in between two styles or we aren't quite sure what we're doing just now, because there was no shape, there was very little balance, and it wasn't like you watched it in other circumstances where you've thought, I can see what we're trying to do, I can see what we're trying to build, maybe just kind of working on that repeatedly is going to get us to the place where we need to be. It was a bit rudderless.
That's a word.
So it feeds into the kind of concerns that we've got about the window, and probably adds to them that, you know, even with the squad that we've got just now, would we have problems even domestically with this squad in terms of what we're looking to do? So, yeah, it's sometimes we do kind of react strangely to defeats, but when you look at everything else in context, I don't think that a reaction from the support is as unmerited. That's me being positive.
Very positive. Alan, Chris said words there, and I agree with them. Systemic issues in regards to how we're playing, and maybe personnel. We're 2 weeks out from Ibrox. We're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but there is concerns.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a huge game there, but I think we're about to hit a period of time where there's a lot of big games. It's not just that, so it's not a case of trying to patch up a team and get a result in there. You're hitting a key point of the season, September, October, where you start to learn about where the team, you start to get a kind of gauge of what the level is going to be. And I think in the first three competitive games under Brendan Rodgers, we've been pretty disappointed, I think, largely. Two wins in the league, which is good, especially when you're not playing well to win. That's really important. But the performance at Rugby Park was really, really poor. And I think I'd said on Monday, and I think it still holds, that there's no smoking gun. There isn't one clear element, I think, that means fix this and we'll be okay. And I think that's both on and off the park. I think injuries have got worse since the last time we spoke as well. I think whatever way you look at it, it feels like the summer transfer window and what we need to do has each week the to-do list has got bigger rather than you've started to chip away at it. I think if we try and think back to those early weeks under Brendan Rodgers, irrespective of what you thought about the manager coming back in, because, you know, no one's right or wrong at this point on that. Hopefully it'll be the end of the season when, you know, we're winning trophies that we look back on that. And hopefully I'll think I was really, really wrong to be sceptical. But at this point, I think one of the concerns is that we wanted to have a transfer window and go into the last week where we were thinking either be in the position that we were really just looking to add one more or maybe go and get one big talent to be a cherry on top. In actual fact, the bulk of business that we've done in terms of big names has been out the door, not in the door. And we're still talking about replacing Jota, who's been gone for quite some time. And that was a kind of star player. So you get into the last week of the window with probably 2 months worth of work needing done in 8 days. It finishes next Friday. There's a lot to be done. And that's why we talked last week about Hatate and Abada and about giving them new contracts. And I think we all kind of agreed at that time. That's positive, but why are we doing that at the moment? All hands have to be on deck with bringing incoming players in. And that we're actually in a... That's more severe now than it was last week. In fact, we need, what, an extra minimum 2 from where we were last week. There's a lot to be done. And I think that's why Samani's made the point that people are concerned. You've made the point that fans are worried. It's because there isn't one move that can tidy this all up. It's not like there's one great chess move here that can actually knock everything down. There's 4 or 5 different things that need done. And then when those players are in, what we're then going to ask is, can we start seeing some performances that reflect the kind of level that Brendan Rodgers was at when he was at Celtic before? And I think that's why people are a bit concerned, miffed. We're all having those conversations with our mates, with friends, with people you work with. And the transfer window is the first route out of it, but there's still a lot of work thereafter, I think.
Hugh Eggman?
Well, a couple of things. A week today, we'll know more in terms of if we've got players in or if we're being heavily linked with players that we might bring in before the window closes on the Friday.
A week today is also the Champions League draw. So we'll be reacting to that next week.
I'm off next week. So you've got all that feeding into a game against Rangers on the Sunday.
Pressure.
Mountain injury list. And it all comes back to the question marks over Rodgers' return, because... I've said it before, I'll keep saying it again, I still don't know why he's came back or what the reason is for that, especially as one of the major reasons for his exit the last time was his kind of disappointment or his kind of frustrations. Not the only reason, obviously he wanted to get back and managing the Premier League, but it was the frustration over being able to do business in Scotland transfer wise so early in his reign, that's a bit too strong. So early in his tepid return.
Long and glorious reign.
So early into the
when he came back to Celtic.
We're already getting suspicions of that ourselves. We're already thinking, are we not getting the targets that we wanted? Is there a problem here? Is that because Peter Law's back at the club? The purse strings are kind of grasped more tightly. That just feeds into it as well. Now, because of what happened the last time, people aren't automatically going, you need to back Brendan. They're kind of focusing on him and going, well, wait a minute, what's the problem? Now, some of these problems might be getting magnified and blown out of proportion, you know. It is entirely feasible that in 4 or 5 weeks' time, we've done a decent bit of transfer business in the last, we've kind of established a style and we've got motoring and people are saying, okay, we're a football team here and we're kind of starting to do something. But making these kind of, not judgments, but kind of estimates or potential kind of outcomes, assessing them, I don't think any of them are kind of outrageous or anything like that. I think they're all entirely possible that we don't do the business we want to do. We go in with a kind of beleaguered squad and we've got a manager who you're still wondering if he really wants to be here. That's me being positive.
This is him being positive, by the way.
But I think all that's potentially true, and that is a real worry, especially where we came from in May, treble in the bag. You'd think 3 months later we would be.
Well, I've got two questions for you. The first question would be, Rodgers coming in, right, so obviously he came in, let's say July, right, early July he came in. So he's been in for 2 months, coming up for 2 months. Would Alan, I'll start with you with this question. Would you have expected, even with the players he has, which essentially was a treble winning side with a couple of players missed, would you at this point have expected us to have more of a stylistic overview? Would you have expected us to be like, this is how we're going to play football? Because it is all a bit messy just now. You know, the fact is Brendan Rodgers is maybe trying something new, maybe he's trying tweaks and stuff, but there isn't really a, it doesn't look like there's a set stylistic approach that, you know, that you can really see trends within. And would you expect that by now?
Yeah, I think the first thing is, even though Brendan Rodgers is back, it's a different playing squad. So he is having to, you know, there's players in there that know probably what he wanted to do the last time, but largely you're having to coach those players to this system, and that is a new system. So I think there is a leeway there. I think just a bit of context as well. We've lost one game. It's a cup game, which is very, very rare for us, and it was hard to take, and the performance was really, really poor. But across the three, I think there are legitimate concerns, mainly about just a lack of control, which was such a hallmark of his first time here.
Yeah, yeah.
To the extent that people maybe thought, actually, we could afford to be a little bit more cavalier, maybe a little bit more adventurous, but we had had a grip on domestic Scottish football in games that made it very, very difficult for teams to get up the park, never mind, you know, have a go at us. So I did expect it to maybe be a little bit further on, but I think that element of it is still to be seen. I think three competitive games in isn't enough. Mm-hmm. And I think the team will get better. I'm really optimistic for Saturday. I actually just want to go and forget transfer window, forget the Rangers game, and I just want to go and watch a game of football and actually see. Is I think there'll be, hopefully, a real reassurance that we might turn in a performance and everybody will go, oh, actually, the players haven't forgot how to play, because yous will be the same. See, when you spend so much time thinking about Celtic, and people listen will be the same, see when you spend that much time thinking about it, and every text you get about Celtic feels like it's kind of negative, it's about an injury, it's about a player who isn't joining, or we've moved on, you get to the stage where you start to think, this is a shambles, and this is, when in actual fact, the players aren't sitting on their phones looking at that, they're training, probably doing good work. So that's positive, and I'm hoping for that on Saturday. But what I think makes it a wee bit more complicated is that we haven't got off to what you would maybe think, that blistering start. We haven't immediately come back in and hit the ground running, but that's fine. That can come. And you haven't lost, you haven't dropped a single point in a league game, so that's fine. But when you then marry into that, then the squad analysis that people will do, however in-depth you do it, or whether it's just a case of, you know, having a wee kind of think in your head, the team looks weaker. And when you then add injuries on top of that, the injuries that we've got, the team looks severely weaker than it finished and started the season last year. And I think that's why people are then thinking there's not a lot of leeway here for us to have a half-assed transfer window when you then add those things on top of it, the kind of slightly slow start and then the injuries. There is no leeway for us to hold back in this window. And I think if it was pressing last week, if it was pressing a month ago, it is very, very rapidly getting to critical stage, I think. And with 8 days left, people saying, you know, we want 4 and 5 in. Absolutely. Your expectations are really, really low for me that'll be done to the quality we want.
I mean, the thing about it as well is, early in the season, I've no doubt the team will get better as well. And, you know, we're just finding our feet. And as much as Rodgers managed us before, you know, he's a new manager coming in. So it takes time to kind of bed these things in. That's all there. Kilmarnock as well, they're a different team than they were last season. It's not just the pitch. The pitch is obviously horrible.
They've improved quite a bit.
Yeah. They, you know, people will quite rightly say we should still be beating them, but that's not the way football works. And I thought their performance was very good. So you give them a piece of credit, you know, for that as well. It's then when you start to think about the broader, longer term picture building towards it. And the minute you mentioned the words Champions League, and then in the same breath, you've still got people kind of saying this is the most, you know, important league title. That this people say that every season, right? That just bores me, because
I think this
there's always a reason why this is the most important league title. But it's the most important league title so that we can go in to the Champions League again.
But it's the new Champions League. And there's more money and all.
Are the team shiter, Chris? No. So therefore,
Depends if we get there.
So the bigger picture really is about why we're not in a position, or as a football club, are we not in a position to build on things, to kind of make season by season make gains. Last season, I didn't think we were very good in the Champions League at all. There were some encouraging things that you would have taken from that, and you would have hoped probably to have the same manager and to build on that. Now we're in a position whereby we're looking at ourselves domestically and going, ah shit, never mind at that level. So it's, yeah. there's maybe certain reasons, you know, you can kind of explain away some of the stuff that's happened in the domestic kind of scene so far. But the minute you think about any sort of European football, it's going to be the Champions League. When the minute you think about Champions League football for us, you kind of realise the enormity of the situation, just not to get embarrassed. That's me being positive.
That's fine, you can do that every time. Alan, did you want to come in there?
Yeah, just on Champions League, I think the way I'm looking at it, and it's not so much, it's not about the players that are there, it's not about the manager that's there at the moment, because that is a big unknown, but I don't think anybody really knows at this point how good our level is going to be this season compared to the last two seasons. I think last year we performed, I'm going to use a patronising phrase, admirably at times in the Champions League, but ultimately we came away with nothing.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of kudos given there because the style of play, which people found refreshing, but it wasn't particularly fruitful. I think this season, I don't think I've ever felt the way I feel now about going into European football.
Yeah.
Today, I'm hoping that come next Friday, when close of business, I really hope that there's some excitement. But see, at this point, and it might sound odd, and saying it at a Celtic podcast, I have very, very little excitement about the Champions League at this point, as in my head, it's about a write-off, and that's already. Now, that's defeatist, that is really negative, I understand that, I don't enjoy it, but there's nothing at this point that's making me think I can't wait to whatever time it is next Thursday to see who we get, because there's very little, like, people talk about a good draw and a bad draw. See the way the position we're in at the moment, and I get this, injuries, and I get that the position we're in at this moment, whether it's by design or whether it's, you know, just bad luck or whatever, the position we're in at the moment, it doesn't really matter, I think, who we draw next week. I think we are easily one of the weakest teams, if not the weakest team, going into the Champions League. And I think whoever we get in pot one, two, three...
Is there anything that can change that?
Yeah, to be honest, sorry, son, man. I've never seen you.
Are you so okay?
I try sometimes and lift up. See, now there is something you can do to it. I think the club, and when I say the club, I don't mean the players that are there, because I like this squad. I think there's a lot of real potential there. I think there's a lot of real talent there. And there might have been some good business done in this window already. But the club, as in the people who I think are in charge of our recruitment and the people that will ultimately determine who is in that playing squad and in that Champions League squad, I think they need to take a bit of professional pride and not just think that the way I see it at the moment, our ambition is to make the Champions League. I don't see anything in this window as different from the last 5-6 years or previous positions of strength that we've been in. I don't see us looking and saying, this year's going to be different. We're going to approach the Champions League this year and try and make some sort of impact. I don't see anything different in our recruitment or what the club have done or how we're approaching this window. The fact that we're actually allowing it to get to the last 8 days and you need potentially four positions, that's not what clubs that have a functioning and positive recruitment team do. And that's before you talk about injuries. We've been really unfortunate with centre-half. That's worked out really badly. That's bad luck. See the rest of it? It kind of stinks a wee bit of lack of ambition and a wee bit of mismanagement as well.
That's the funny thing when I see on social media people talking about like the club's kind of ethos and, you know, how we market. What's the kind of idea? I'm looking for a word, not ethos, but like the club strategy, right? People talk about the club strategy and, oh, you know, we've got this strategy that we go. It's like, well, we're 8 days out, and again, take away the idea of injuries. We've only got one left back. We literally, like...
No, we've got two.
We have two.
Aye, but, I mean, come on, right. And, you know, that we've got what... I'm not going to go through the whole squad, but my point being, strategy isn't just about, okay, in the first 2 weeks of the window, you bring in five players, two of them are probably going to be ready for the first team, and the rest of them are going to be projects, right? You need to build on that. You need to do more. It needs to be a constant thing. I'm going to ask you a question, Chris.
You do that.
What's your thoughts on Do you think, in regards to our main transfer strategy for this window, do you think they've been waiting for the last week? Do you think they've been waiting for the last week to go?
Yeah, I fucking hope
no,
so.
Do you know what I mean? Though, like, well, is it a case of we'll wait for the last week because more business will be done in the mid market? People will be moved on. People will be available. Maybe are they waiting for the last 24 hours so they can say these English Premier League teams have got, you know, excess players that we can scoop up? Because that's what it seems like.
Now, if that is the strategy, that is still an extremely poor strategy.
It's not even a strategy, though. It's just,
right. Yeah. Now, do I think, though, in the last week that we could still do significant business? Of course. I think weeks ago we were talking about the Saudi impact on... The Saudi impact on the transfer market and various other kind of things that have fed into that. And we've also kind of highlighted in Ange's first season, Carter Vickers and Jota were last minute numbers. And let's be perfectly honest, incredible successes, both of them. It's entirely feasible that both of them were in a position where they were kind of assessing their options right up to the last minute. Could have been a number of things on the table and they've decided to come to us. There could be other players like that. There could be, you know, a number of players that we've got could be like English Academy players who we know have got a tremendous amount of talent, but it's really difficult to break into kind of the first team of certain clubs, etc. It could be that there's a lot of that stuff going on. Isn't good enough, though, it's not good enough.
Is wait and see a strategy?
It's not a strategy, right, but see if it works out that way. A week's time, and we've got four players in. One of them's highly rated, I don't know, Man City, wonder kid midfielder, and we've got a winger, and, you know, Kieran Tierney or something left. You know, you're sitting here a lot calmer.
Yeah.
In terms of assessing the squad, but the point would still remain. You know, that's kind of high stakes. That's kind of high risk stuff. That's not the way a football club like us should operate. But is there a chance that we'll get, maybe not what we want or need, but will we get some quality added to the squad? I would probably say we will.
Do you think with it?
That's me being positive.
No, I think that last point is quite important. I really hope that in 10 days, somebody listening to this who might be really annoyed now, might be thinking, wow, this is a real downer, listens to this again and maybe goes, look, you were panic merchants.
Get it up, you.
And I really hope that is the case, that we do great deals. But I think it's too easy and I have been clinging on to the Hatate and CCV thing going, well, do you know, we might get that again. But see, when you look into the kind of detail of that and how that actually transpired, very, very easily CCV might not have worked up here, and it was very, very late in the day it was done. So it's, I suppose, are you willing to go into the Champions League as it stands with the playing squad as it is, including your injuries, or do you think that these guys will be the difference and will actually, and I think that's my slight worry, that we're either aiming just, I'm not going to say aiming too high, because I fundamentally don't believe that we are doing that. Maybe what they're looking at is, well, we would rather get the absolute best in who can take us up two, three levels, or go in as is, and just deal with whatever, you know, if rather than going into that kind of middle realm of the two.
70-10? I know I'm seeing price numbers.
I don't see any reason why Celtic shouldn't be spending that money, given the way the club is. It's clearly sustainable now that we can attract transfer fees for players that are talented. I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility that we should spend, or could spend, because I see if a good player comes in and they're 900,000, I don't care whether they're 9 million or 900,000, but I don't think we should be ruling out those players, or that we would think, well, we'll get one in like that. Over the next week, if Celtic spent 22, 23 million in fees across four players, I wouldn't look at that and say, wow, you know, that's, we've went too much here. I think actually that's within the realms of what you do. You raked in £25 million in one player. I know you spent, what, seven on him a couple of years ago. But it's clear that there's a market for resale for talented players here. So it's not going to get, the rug is not going to be pulled from under our feet. We're not going to be saddled with five players that we bought for £7 million that we can't move on. One of them might not work out. Two of them will. You might get £40 million in for two players. That's how it works. You need to keep replenishing and bringing talented players in so that you reach European Champions League level. I just think there is a, historically, we've talked about it a million times before. We've been here in 2019. There is a history at Celtic, in my opinion, of being happy with a lot and not thinking, actually, how do you push forward? And given that it's largely the same people that are involved, I think you could make the accusation that the club, potentially, is a little bit stale and it needs fresh thinking and fresh ideas from the very top.
Just happy to beat the table.
I've missed this. I think we should do a podcast special on director of football and kind of restructuring at the club, because we forgot all about that when Ange was in, didn't we?
The only thing, people might disagree, and you might have an opinion. That's fine. That's just my opinion. I don't speak for anybody else around. But I don't think anybody, you cannot look and think that we are really, really ambitious to go and push on. Nah. You might not get targets, that's fine. The transfer market's difficult and getting good players is really, really hard. You won't always get everything. But you can't look at what we've done and say, this is a team that is actually changing and is leveling up. Yeah, it's pushing up. Forward. You've went and got a top-class coach in, that's great. I'll forget the baggage, I'll forgo that, that's fine. Go out and bring in European-level players that don't need 12, 18 months of Champions League experience or European experience and playing at a top club to learn. Go and get players that can impact the Champions League this year, the Europa League this year, next year. I don't think the experience we've got going into it is from the guys that played last year. We haven't added to it.
To make matters worse, today's press conference, I've got the clip and it's just him speaking, so it knows nothing of just what Brendan Rodgers had to say regarding injuries. Let me just get up.
Cameron Carter-Vickers, Mike Naraki and Stephen Welsh, probably about 8 weeks. So Stephen Welsh obviously had an operation just the other day, so he's come through that well. The other two, we were hopeful that they would be back sooner, but we sort of further scans on them puts them at probably about 8 weeks from now. So Rio Itati will be back, international break. Mikey Johnson will be next week. Kobayashi will be in the international break. And we'll return next week to training. Alistair Johnson's back, which is great news for us. He's trained well and will be available for the weekend.
So, let's look at the positives. Alistair Johnson's back.
Yep.
Good.
That's a really real big positive.
Look forward to 57 minutes from Alistair. Nah, right, that's too far.
Oh, come negativity. On. Come on.
With a negativity. No, I apologise for that. Apologise.
Apologise to Mr. Johnson and the great nation of Canada.
It's not so much about Mr. Johnson himself, more about our luck with injuries.
Do you think Johnson will go straight into the team against St. Johnson, or do you think, as you say, he might get a small cameo just to get kind of time in his legs to save him for Sunday?
I think...
How do you manage that?
I think the idea, if he's looking... He would be looking to play him at Ibrox, and I would suggest that that means he'll at least give him, he'll start him on Saturday as well. It might be that if we get to a point where the game's won, that he maybe brings him off. But if there's any, if he's got any sort of intention of starting him on Sunday, I think he starts at Ibrox, that he starts on Saturday.
Narofsky, CCV, Welsh, you're looking at 8 weeks, which means essentially they'll miss two Champions League games. How do you think that changes everything regarding our approach to this season, Alan? You're basically three essential first team squad players who are unavailable in the same position.
Yeah, I mean, it does rip out the heart of your centre halves, and it makes it extremely difficult for the manager. And my comments about the Champions League and not particularly looking forward to it as we sit here now, I think that was very much the tipping point. I think I've been concerned about improving on last year, but take out, I mean, Navrotsky's looked pretty good, to be fair. I think he has looked okay.
Yeah.
He certainly looked like he's got a bit of learning to do, but he's someone that you could definitely work with and think, you know, there might be some good business done there. CCV is CCV. Take the two of them out, and then the backup as well. It just leaves you really in limbo. I don't know who will line up within Champions League at centre-half in those first two games, possibly three, by the time they get up to speed. So I think my tempered expectations over the Champions League are very much that feeds into it. It's a huge, huge blow, and you're going to have to do something there in the market again. In centre half, you're going to have to go out and buy a third centre back. this window, I would imagine you might need to look at a different, slightly different profile, because you're not going to bring in a kind of young project again, because you've got the top two off your list there, clearly, or two guys at the kind of higher end of your list. I think now you're probably looking at someone that can come in and maybe work with you, do you a favour over maybe 2 to 3 months, and then potentially take a back seat, which is really quite a hard fucking filter to apply to the transfer window, but you know, I'm sure there are guys out there.
Just on in regard to that profile and the recruitment at centre back, here's what Rogers had to say.
I think we have to look at it, there's no doubt. You know, it's an area that we're light on. Like you say, when you're losing three players for that length of time, and knowing that the number of games that we will have and the importance of every game, then it's definitely something we have to look at. Ideally, I think especially at centre-half, it's a specialised position where, for me, the experience always helps, you know. So we've got a lot of young players in the squad, but naturally, to bring those players on and bring them through, they need to play with players, not just of experience, but players of quality. So you need to hopefully try and align both. Because you'll see the best of those players, you know, the guys that are young and developing and dealing with the expectation. If they can play alongside the guys that's going to pull them through and then bring out that potential, ideally that's what you want. So so that's something that we'll look at.
So he's looking at a different type of profile, as you said there, Alan. Chris, you know, maybe bringing in someone a shorter term, or, you know, certainly older and experienced is the kind of words that he used. It's a lot easier said than done, I guess, because if you bring someone in, you very rarely get like 6 month loans. You're probably looking at a year, probably, and it's a big outlay for guys who are going to be back in 2 months, but it needs to be done.
It's difficult, isn't it? I mean, in his first spell, he signed Kolo Touré, and Touré came in and certainly domestically played a role at the start, but then unravelled against Mönchengladbach in the Champions League, which brings us back to the Champions League, Chris. We're doomed. Yeah, I mean,
is that you being positive?
And that's me being positive. You kind of need somebody in that sort of mould, but better. It's a really difficult one. It really is, because you then need to go, I mean, you then need to go back to your, if you're not going to go for that profile of player, sorry. Well done, boys. Profile of player, then you're maybe going back somewhere else in terms of, you know, where we got Lagerbielke and Narodski. But then eventually you're going to find yourself with four centre halves for two positions. So it's really not ideal in the slightest. And I don't really think I've got much else I can say in how unideal.
I think the only maybe to inject some positivity, which is a word we've said a lot, we've not fucking did a lot of it, there might be the option to be quite direct with a player that, like, you maybe don't want to play in Scotland for a year, you don't want to play in Scotland for 18 months, but you do have the option of playing Champions League football, 6 games potentially. Barring injury, you're guaranteed probably 3 Champions League games. So there maybe is a market for a 6 month loan for a player who doesn't get a move in England, who, you know, maybe wants to play and wants to play at that high level, and come up here and experience that. So someone that doesn't get the move they want might then think, well, I'll play up there for 6 months and they might be really, really good. A player that we actually probably couldn't afford to buy, you might be able to, given the circumstance, you might need to splurge a bit in wages. So I'm hopeful that maybe in this there might be a wee niche of player that actually you say, do you know what, you wouldn't be able to buy that player and you're not going to have them a long time, but you'll get them for 2-3 months where they'll play first team football and they might do you a really good job. It doesn't need to be someone that's 36 and can't get another contract elsewhere. It might be someone who's 26, 27, 28 who's out of favour at their club but comes up here and thinks, you know, I'll go up there, I'll scoosh it for 4 months and then I'll come back down and I'll get a proper move in January.
The thing about Harry Maguire,
when I started saying that, I was thinking I'm describing Harry Maguire.
That was, and I mean, It's almost really selling the country there. How long could you stand to stay in Scotland? Maximum 8 weeks. Well, I've got an opportunity for you, my man.
You know, we might need to change our approach when we're trying to pitch to players, because clearly we're struggling to bring in talent at the moment. So instead of saying, come here for 2 years, it's great, we should start going, it's shite, but you'll only be here for 4 months. So, you know, it's fine.
Not a long time.
I hope you're right, but...
I'm trying, mate.
Yeah,
I'm
trying. I know. I'll give you that. I agree with Alan.
Well, look at something like, and I know it wasn't at the best time, but he did really, really well, and he was a player we could never have bought, which kind of panned out. Robbie Keane was in a situation with Spurs at the time where he wasn't playing, and he just needed to go and play football. So, yeah, I mean, to spin it positively, this could be something where we end up getting a guy.
Get Robbie Keane at centre-half, probably.
Is that the smartest thing? That was your
That was me joke. Dead witty.
Pathetic. So, yeah, there's
you know what else is pathetic? Your face.
Oh, well, they're turning. Oh, they're Jesus. Turning each other.
See, I'm getting the classic wit out here now. You know,
I mean, Kieran Tierney, the link with Kieran Tierney has not went away. There was some stuff breaking just as we started recording that Real Sociedad are in kind of, I don't know if it's final stage negotiations with Arsenal, but they're certainly kind of far down the line in regard to, you know, initial conversations. Celtic have been credited with an interest.
Mm. I hate that expression now. I hate it.
It means fuck
declaring
all.
Declaring interest, expressing interest, keeping tabs. All of those expressions can just get in the bin.
I mean nothing, didn't
they? There's a Celtic...
It means they're not buying them, that's what it means usually.
There's a Celtic scout in the hand with, like, you know, a wee Celtic Tammy. And the player walks past and he goes like that. It's a podcast, but anyway, he's just nodding at him and noting his name down. Aye, keeping tabs, don't you worry about that.
11:10, left Tesco Express.
We're keeping tabs on you. How much the transfer fee and wages? That's the end of that.
On to you, we talked about it, and I think, well, fucking every pod's probably talked about it, and unanimously would take Kieran Tierney back in a heartbeat. How good a deal you think it would be financially? I couldn't care less. I would take him. It would improve the first team. Hopefully, he would stay fit. It would be superb, and I would love that.
It can play centre half.
Yep. Do you know? I think we're at the stage though with that kind of 8 days where I don't think we have the luxury of actually saying if it happens, it happens, and if it doesn't, so be it. You kind of need to probably get to a stage where you need to know, is this going to happen or is it not? And if it's not, you just need to go to the next guy on the list. And if it's an inferior option, that's the nature. Because I think left back it's critical that we get, at the very, very least, proper competition there. Ideally, an improvement. So we kind of hang about for seven days, basically, to see, will they give us them cheap because it's, you know, an hour to go. But I don't think we've got that luxury now.
Got a message from Danny. We've got a couple of messages. Trips. Whilst players are still clearly unable to find any real set patterns of play and it looks like they are being sent out without any real plan, let's not forget that some of these individual performances from players like Taylor, McGregor, Hart, Maeda, Abada and others actually started last season. And whether the league was won or not, the previous manager let an unprofessionalism set in, the words of Danny, as he himself told us the last 5-6 games of the season were meaningless. That looks like it's carried into the new season and we haven't shaken it off. New bodies with fresh energy and real quality will hopefully raise the level, but right now the consequence of poor performance level is zero because we can't leave some of these guys out of the team given the state of the squad and lack of quality alternatives. Even if 2 to 3 quality players come in before the deadline, does the panel think Brendan Rodgers still has a desire and ability to win a double and get out of a Champions League group? I think he's got the desire and the ability to win the double. Champions League group, I think we all kind of, we're not totally optimistic at this point, Chris.
No, we're not totally optimistic, no.
I don't think we'll win it. Not this year.
We got another question, I'll just say.
Can I just say, I quite like that. I'm a big, big fan of blaming Ange for our early season malaise. I quite like that. That's very good.
I'm in it as well. Yeah.
Elliot, unprofessionalism settle in. Correct.
Scott Murphy, he messaged to say, yep, good stuff, Scott Murphy. Hello, Team Weekly. If Palmer signs, and it's hoped that we get another 3 signings, in what positions, types of players do you want to see? Has centre back now jumped up in importance with the news of CCV and Naroki's injuries, or would you be happy to go with Scales, Ibrox, and in the Champions League? Hint, there is a wrong answer to this one. What I would say is, in regard to positions, I mean, goalkeepers now, no one's even thinking about goalkeeper now, so I think that kind of absolutely drops off a...
Top target, Livakovic, is doing a medical with Fenerbahce, which I'm sure is a huge blow to Celtic, because we were all set to ink that deal.
Only keeper we've been linked with. Aye. You know, it was almost like, we kept tabs on him one day, and then that was that.
To Tesco
and then I've never talked about a keeper. And 4 weeks ago, we're like, we really need a keeper. Yeah. And then it's got so bad, we're like, well, Joe Hart, you know, he's... big presence in the dressing room, let's stick with him.
11-10, went to Tesco Express. 5 weeks later, he signed for Fenerbahce.
And then went to Tesco Express afterwards to celebrate.
I think you're right. In ideal world, goalkeeper, was quite far from ideal world. I think we actually said this last week, did we not kind of all think that you were now in the realm of do Subjury. What you can rather than what we would really like? And I think... goalkeeper is still a big priority. The lack of kind of being linked with goalkeepers isn't a positive sign, but you could be doing business quietly. But I just get the impression there's so much work to be done. Centre half clearly has jumped to it. Like I said last week, we don't have hundreds of staff working on Celtic's behalf, so the idea of doing 4 or 5 good deals in 8 days, I mean, that's a lot of work for Celtic. So I don't know if goalkeeper will flesh out, to be honest.
Does Luis Palma, does he kind of tick your profile of a player you'd be quite excited to see?
See the winger?
The winger, yeah, the winger from Greece.
That'll do. Like the look of him.
Came from Greece, had a thirst for knowledge. Studied sculpture.
Bit of fun. Remiss of me to say that I know very much about the guy. However, I think he was it 20 goals he scored or 20 goal contributions. Probably didn't read it correctly or whatever.
But he didn't quite get 20, but he was involved in 20 goal contributions.
So that's in the Greek leagues, obviously, of a certain, you know, kind of standard that you would be pretty pleased if he came on board. It's the sort of signing who you may not know enough about, but he's playing regular first team football in a competitive league. So if he came in, you'd be like, right, good, let's go forward with this.
From the brief highlights I saw of him, his delivery looked pretty damn good.
Who for though, Chris? We've no centre halves. Kyogo's that height.
He's getting himself dragged down again. That's I think it's positive, and it's quite clear. I think it's quite clear he's not number one target. I think at this stage, I think winger. Just to move away from the glaring kind of actual absences in our team, as in not quality, absences of actual players like centre-half and lack of competition at left-back. Winger's an area, I think, we talked about it last week, I think it was Podence it was linked to that time. Mm. I think there's a need for a kind of possession-based winger, someone that's quite happy on the ball that can make things happen. Not just using endeavour and, you know, intelligence off the ball, but actually with the ball at his feet, he is a player that makes teams defend differently, and I think there is a need for that, because I think Abada and Maida are very, very good. They're a wee bit off their best form, and quite a bit off their best form going by Sunday, like the rest of the team. But they will come good, they will contribute this season. I think there is a need for one more player in there though that really shakes up the kind of hierarchy, because I don't think I'm overly enthusiastic about Marco Tellio coming in mid-September and tearing the league up. So I think there is a need there, absolutely, for, you know, a winger of that calibre, 23, Honduran international, you know, it seems positive. But again, like Samani, I haven't sat and studied hours of footage, but he looks positive and he looks happy with the ball at his feet and can bring other players into play, which is badly what we need, I think.
I mean, we need a Jota replacement. Now, in your head, you want a player as good as or better than Jota. That's obviously a tall order. But you want somebody to take his place in the squad, and ideally that's a player whose upside could be that high and somebody who's going to make an immediate contribution to the first team. On paper, he looks as if he could be that player, so you'd be fairly positive about it. But fundamentally, it's about getting another player in who can play well. Jordan. Yeah.
Hitati being back in the international break, that's certainly a positive, because hopefully that means he'll be fit and firing for the Champions League. Brendan Rodgers talked about him today and how important he is, and you know, it looks like whatever kind of issues there was, if Hitati's around, that he'll certainly start more games. That's positive news.
Yeah.
He's our best midfielder, I think.
No, he is our best midfielder, and I mean, at that point where the manager was talking about improving that he can play for him, that's the sort of thing you do when there's a bit of kind of swagger about the team and a bit of kind of, you know, he's got a bit of a kind of control, if you know what I mean, over the side. And, you know, I'm the manager, my team are ticking. There's standards I want you to meet to be able to get into this team. Whereas it's absolutely screaming in the face that we are an inferior team without him. When he didn't start him at Pittodrie and brought him on, just obviously getting injured, but he made an immediate difference in quality that was so apparent, you're thinking, I don't know really what point you're making here. And that was entirely frustrating, because it gets back to that issue I've got about Rodgers and some of the things he says and some of the things he does. It's just, that just seemed an off statement to make at this point in the season. Really just bizarre. Especially then when he comes on, and you know, without being outrageously outstanding, just his all-round general average gameplay increased the team.
Taking a touch.
Aye.
Passing it.
You know.
Special standards now.
Scanning in terms of where he is on the park. You know, all those kind of nice things that you want your central midfielder to do. So, yeah.
I think just, I'd agree entirely with that. I think everybody would be quite happy to see Rio Hatai A, back fit, and B, in the starting 11. I think just, I'm a wee bit, you used that kind of phrase, it seemed a bit off. Everything that's happened over the last 2-3 weeks in terms of the news stories and the new contract thing with Hatai, to me, it just, something doesn't seem
right.
And I think it is absolutely unfathomable that we sell Rio Hatate in this window, given where we're at the moment. I think we're at the stage now where no first team players can leave now, and Rio Hatate is right at the top of that list. You need players, especially in Brendan Rodgers' system, who are comfortable with the ball at their feet, who are comfortable receiving the ball in traffic, turning on it, taking players out of the game. He is one player who, with his abilities, power, his strength and his intelligence, his scanning, can beat a press. Pick him, play him, and under no circumstances are we in a position where we can sell him. So even if Rio Hatate turns around and says tomorrow to Celtic, under no circumstances will I sign a new contract, I think you say, okay, that's fine. You've got 3 years left in that deal. We review it in January. We review it in the end of the season, and we maybe move you on then. Doesn't matter if he doesn't sign a new deal. If we lose $5 million because he's a year less in his contract, so be it. You absolutely cannot sell Rio Hatate in this window.
See that? Kind of what we've spoken about over the last few years, especially after the kind of debacle of Lennon's last season, you know, saying if players don't want to be here, move them on. You know, The only fly in that ointment is you need to be a club that plans for that. And you're exactly right. Last week I'd have said that. 2 weeks ago I'd have said that. See today, nope. See if Rio Hatati's saying I don't want to play for this football club anymore. Club have got to say sorry. You are, and you know that's really where we are, and that's not good. That's not good if you've got, maybe it doesn't, right? We're making an assumption there, but if there is something that seems not right about it, and it probably wouldn't be a stretch of the imagination to think that he's a guy who's ambitious. He might want to move on. He might be considering that. We're now in a position whereby if he says, "Look, I've got an offer," or "I've noted interest," or whatever from.
You saw the Saudi league being open 3 weeks after. You know there's going to be a bid.
We're now in a position where we just go, sorry.
So far.
And that's not good.
I think, look, you're absolutely right. And it's not, people think it's hard and fast and it's, you need to, well, you know, you've got 3 years left in your deal, so you're fucked. It's not, it's about saying, look, we understand, we want players to get moves that they want and we want it to be good for the club. So unless you were getting crazy money and you had the replacement who was of similar standard or above ready, which... unlikely, highly unlikely. But I think you then need to say to the player, look, we don't have the option. We'll revisit it in January and we'll look and we'll work with you to get an appropriate move. I think what makes me nervous and what makes me think something's a little bit off is the rush to get him to sign a new deal whilst the window's open, he's still got 3 years left, seems bizarre. But also, links with other clubs, not being picked for the first two games, which I wasn't that fussed about at the time. We were in a better position in terms of squad numbers and things at the time that made you think maybe he is making a point and maybe you have the luxury of making that. That's gone. So I do think, I don't know if the club are briefing or Hatate's agents are briefing, but I think there has to be a kind of, you have to come together and accept that we're not in a position where we can lose a player of that quality at this point in the window without a replacement. And we don't have a replacement now, and we've got other positions that need addressed. So even if he does want to leave, and I have no insight into that, I have no understanding of that either way, and it's not beyond the realms of possibility he wants to play in England or a top five league, that's fine, but it'll need to be January. And we're, you know, that's the nature of it. I don't think we have the luxury of being able to lose a player of that quality, because we've seen enough quality players out the door. There's enough players, quality players in the treatment table. You can't have anyone else not available for selection.
Mikey Johnson back next week.
Yeah.
Big smiles.
That's really, really harsh on Mikey Johnson. That's,
I actually like Mikey Johnson.
Come on.
I'm probably the only one.
Maybe fucking centre half Ibrox. He's played every other position at Ibrox before. So
can you imagine Mikey Johnson coming on though, like, and just the crowd just going, "Oh, for fuck's sake!" And that's not, again, that's nothing to do with him. It's just, it feels like Mikey Johnson.
Something to do with him.
Yeah, I've got.
I think he would take it somewhat personally.
Yeah, what I mean is though that is, if Mikey Johnson was to start starting games, that would be the ultimate regression. That would be where we went right back to it. Just looking ahead to the game.
Harsh.
I think it's harsh.
No, a regression.
Take it back. Walk it back right now.
What do you want me to walk back? Tell
me. Just apologise.
To who?
Mikey Johnson.
For what?
And a wee bit me.
And a wee bit me. Is that a sentence you want to stick with? Do you want to apologise for that sentence? Yep. Happy with that. I can go fuck yourself. looking at Saturday, if you are going through a little bit, obviously we lost the game against Kilmarnock. You want to get back on track instantly. Let's play the bottom team. Let's play the team that are not performing particularly well.
And small sample size, Chris. You can't really draw any conclusions from that.
I genuinely think he's having a breakdown.
Are you okay?
Two games in and you're saying bottom of the table, St Johnston.
They lost to Stenhouse Muir. They lost to United.
Stenhouse Muir aren't in the Premier League, Chris.
They lost to Stirling Albion.
Stenny, good team.
They lost to Stirling Albion. They lost to Hearts 2-0. They lost to Ross County 2-0.
What a way to bounce back. Then a plucky draw against the champions.
He doesn't need a week off.
Are you alright?
Yeah.
This game, obviously, we'll be in attendance and we'll have a reaction recording from a location in town, which will be available straight afterwards on thecynic.co with myself, Christopher Bowd, and Barry Gallagher. Looking forward to that. Chris, how are you feeling about the game overall? Alan made the point about just wanting to get back to watching Celtic actually play football. You feel the same?
Totally agree. I mean, it is weird. Obviously, there is a lot of dooming, and a lot of that comes from the picking up the phone and the WhatsApps, you know, and all with links or keeping tabs on and stuff like that, you know. But when a game actually comes up, I'm still saying, no, I'm looking forward to this. Because not only do I just love going to see Celtic, like just about all of us, it's also another kind of milestone to show improvement. So you're kind of looking for that, to see if there's a reaction, to see where we go, to see, is there more of a shape taking place? Is there some players who've not kind of hit the ground running thus far, maybe a wee bit more up to speed over the last week? So I'm still at the stage where I'm really still looking forward to going to see us in Saturday, and I do think there will be a reaction to that. I think, as you say, for the week, you know, off, they'll not be happy with that performance themselves, and obviously that's another kind of week under their belt in the training ground to kind of get a formation in that, to kind of move us forward. So I am looking forward to it. I'm quite confident that there'll be a reaction to it. Bring it on.
Alan, there's been a lot of talk this week from the captain, and from Matt O'Reilly was talking about it as well, about kind of the pressure and the standards to play at Celtic. That obviously, with these new players that were coming in, do you think they'll take that on board and sort of start to understand with all the fallout from last week? Is it almost last week to turn last week into a bit of a positive? Like, they will, a lot of those players will now know exactly what it means to play for Celtic. Or is that a lot of shite?
Well, I don't want to just say, yeah, it's a lot of shite. We've not got 10 new players in that are all...
you know what I mean?
No, there's a couple of new guys. Look.
Do you want me just, will I just go and you guys can talk amongst yourselves?
Yeah, I think we may go as well, to be honest. I think that if you're trying to take a positive from it, I think I may have mentioned it Monday. Look, you're not going to win every cup game. And I know Brendan Rodgers did the first time he was here, but if he stayed another 2 years, it would have probably, at some point, he would have lost one. You've lost it very early. It's gone. Whether you get beat in the final or whether you get beat in the first round, personally, I don't see much of a difference. You're out. You don't win it. You either win it or you don't. And we're not going to win it this year. It's done. So it's a kind of inflection point. You look at it and, you know, Callum McGregor, I think, is the language used post-match was, I thought, quite dramatic. But
yeah,
hopefully that's because they are taking it seriously and, you know, collusion's unacceptable. Yeah, you know, which I thought was just, it's just quite a unusual way maybe of putting it, but it's not to say it's wrong or it's, you know, that's his opinion. I think if you go on Saturday and you see a performance, possession-based, some really nice stuff. And, I mean, in pre-season, I thought, I know it's pre-season games, we played some really, really nice football at times. So it's not that I haven't seen nice football since Brendan Rodgers came back in. I just don't think we've seen it necessarily in the three competitive games, which is small sample sizes, Samani pointed out. So hopefully, against St Johnstone, who looked like they're in trouble this year, I would be, I was about to say optimistic, I would be expecting to go on Saturday and see not only a positive result, as in a win, I'd be expecting to see a really encouraging performance that then you can take something from. Because I think the first game back, was it Ross County in the opening
Ross
game?
County, yeah.
I thought it was a bit flat, both on and off the park. I thought the kind of crowd was just a wee bit, you know, off. I thought the players weren't at their best. It was just a bit scrappy. I think everyone would take a lot from a really dominant, you know, dare say even enthusiastic home win, with some really positive performances. Maybe some of the new guys, maybe, you know, centre-halves can hopefully bed in because they've got one game before Ibrox, and, you know, none of those guys you mentioned earlier will be back for it. So I think there's a lot there, there's a lot to be done, but hopefully we'll all feel a wee bit more comfortable come half five on Saturday. Maybe even a wee player at half-time, you know, an announcement, you know, new signing, getting paraded in the pitch. I mean, we've only got 8 days left in the window, so it's one of fucking 8 days that we have to bring guys in. So,
it's a player to probably announce tomorrow then, yeah?
Tomorrow night, aye, but you're going to have to get deals done quick. We don't have the luxury of saying, I fly in next week, mate, don't worry about it.
Honestly, both of you are just ready to fucking fly off the handle at anything.
I don't think it's too much to ask to say, will we be able to sign a player by Saturday? I mean, yes, get the deal done, get it done quick, and have him watch the game.
See on the... Jesus Christ.
Make sure he signs before he watches the game.
I think...
Is that Honduran leaving the stadium at half-time? With a 10 grand comedy check under his arm?
In regard to...
I won the Paradise Windfall.
I think we most of the team will probably pick himself, though. I think we'll go with the strongest team.
Do you know what? The team probably will pick themselves. That's no, right, I'm not going to say that then, am I? Just losing that a bit here, aren't we?
Manager's lost the dressing room, if that's the case.
Gal has lost the fucking podcast. With the centre-half pairing, though, obviously the game at Ibrox is looming large. Lagerbjelk, he's the guy. Beside him, would it be Liam Scales? Would it be... I mean, I can't believe I'm saying that. I really can't fucking believe I'm saying that. Liam Scales or Iwata? That's the only two options, unless we pull someone up from the youth.
You sent Boys and Lowell out to Fleetwood. Yeah. So
yeah,
if there was a youth player, it would have been Boys and Lowell. So.
I think who would I rather, Scales or Iwata? I don't know. I mean, Iwata has played there. I mean, we had that short-lived kind of spell at right back, which thankfully that's been binned because he's certainly not a right back. I don't care if he's played there before. Certainly does not look like a right back. He did play for his last season at the tail end. I think he was better than Kobayashi. Low bar. Better than Kobayashi. I think the first time he played there, he was pretty shaky. From there on in, it wasn't the worst. So I'm going for a while instead of Scales, because for me Scales is, I think we know what Scales can offer and I think it's not what we're looking for, so I would take a Wata over Scales.
Do you think the centre half pairing Allen on Saturday will be the one that goes to Ibrox? That's, you'd imagine so.
Well, No, because we need to sign a centre half that will go straight in for Ibrox. I mean, I know I keep talking about the we need. You can't go to Ibrox with either Awata or Scales starting a centre half. Look, and I know it's going to be tricky. You're going to have to bring someone in that's going to have had a pre-season and is available to start at that game at Ibrox on Sunday. It's
how quickly do you need them in?
You need them in next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But if you get someone that's an experienced player, you're going to have to trust that they'll play in that game, because look, Liam Scales isn't, in my opinion, of Celtic standard. And asking him to play, even on Saturday, I don't think I'd be particularly enamoured with Liam Scales starting Saturday. And I know it sounds really harsh. I don't like saying that about players because, like, he's a professional footballer. He was in Aberdeen last year. By all accounts, he did quite well. Watched a few Aberdeen games last year. He has mistakes in him,
yeah,
both with the ball, where he can be cavalier with it. We've seen that in pre-season. And defensively, he doesn't look to me like an out-and-out centre-half. He played as a kind of back three at Aberdeen. We play with two centre-halves, and he's going to have a lot of the ball, and he's going to get pressed quite a bit. So it's, in my opinion, it's a recipe for disaster. Tomoki Awata isn't a natural centre-half. I like Awata. I think he's a really good player. I'm surprised that he hasn't featured in any of the games, really. Especially Kilmarnock last week when we had no control over the middle of the park. It might have been helpful to have someone with his strength, power, and ability to kind of handle that side of the game. I thought that was crying out for someone to help, but that's by the by. The idea of ending him starting at Ibrox at centre-half to me is just unacceptable. So you need to... It would be potentially Lager Bielka, who obviously will be watching like a hawk on Saturday, because he looked okay at Kilmarnock, but it's very early. He will make mistakes, so he's going to have to learn quick. You're going to have to put someone in beside him for that Ibrox game that's more experienced and is a better natural centre-half. Because if you start Awata and he doesn't do well, then I think it just makes life very, very difficult for him, because he's playing out of position in one of your most difficult games, and it makes it very hard for him to get back in his natural position, where he's been passed over now quite a number of times by other players. So you're going to have to go in the market and get a player. But this Saturday, I would predict... I think it'll probably be Scales and Lagerbjelk on Saturday. It could be a lot, but I just get the impression he used Scales in there at pre-season, so he at least has some experience.
Yeah, so this game this weekend, you know, we have been a bit doom and gloom today, but we are... Like, but
can I think?
We tried.
Like, fucking...
We said we hope in 10 days that... See if you dangle four first-team ready players in my face and they're ready by next Friday, I will be... fucking cock-a-hoop. Honestly, I'll be ecstatic. But as it stands just now, that isn't looking great. So I'm downbeat. I'm trying to explain why people might have listened to this for the last however long and think, fuck, he's negative. It's not me. It's the environment around us.
That's very true. If you're tuning into a Celtic podcast and expecting some cheery sunbeams just now, it's... unlikely.
You'd be as well watching 10 o'clock news for a bit of positivity and listen to us, don't you?
Anyway, it's been great. Genuinely been good to talk through it. We've got the game on Sunday. Get the game on Saturday, sorry. Which, as I say, we'll have a reaction. We'll have the weekend update tomorrow. We'll also have the opposition perspective, where we'll kind of look at St Johnstone and how they'll line up and how we can play against them. And then on Sunday, we've got the biscuit tin, which, looking forward to that, our financial podcast. What?
That may be the most positive thing to get.
That's what I was going to say. Martin
and Ian.
We are loaded.
Yes.
But with no players.
We need to draft Brian McManus in for next Thursday for a bit of positivity, because...
Brian McManus will be on the midweek bounce on Wednesday with myself and Chris Bowd. So, now, listen, this has been great. And
Brian can polish a turd.
Jesus. Christopher Sormani.
Love it.
Pleasure.
It's been good.
Alan Edgar.
If we get a new player paraded at halftime on Saturday, I'm going to go all out and say Champions League, Everton will take a lot on.
Ole.
If we don't, it's nothing. All nothing.
From Alan Edgar, from Chris Armani, from myself, Chris Gallagher, this has been The Cynic Weekly, and we'll speak to you down the road.